People used to bring lots of beer and funny clothes to paloozas. Today, they just bring strong coffee and laptops to data paloozas, that is. A big data palooza for the healthcare field has just kicked off here in Washington. For what to expect, Tom Temin talked with Neil Brennan, the chairman of the Health Data Palooza and chief data officer at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
The objective is to build on previous data paloozas. This is our seventh year. The first data palooza started with only about 40 people in a small room, and we have grown in size and scope to be, I think, the preeminent gathering around data and data entrepreneurship with over 1,500 attendees last year. So, this year, I think we find ourselves even closer to the reality of using data analytics and technology to redefine how we deliver and pay for healthcare. So we're going to hear a lot about that, a lot about really what is the value proposition around data, around open government data, around other types of data, around leveraging data to improve healthcare.
Now, I see a list of speakers and sessions, but will there actually be coding taking place these couple of days?
There will likely be some coding indeed. We've got a lot of interactive little breakout sessions where people can demo their tools. There's also been a lot of coding taking place in the run-up to the Data Palooza. We had a Blue Button on Fire codeathon a couple of weeks ago, and the winners of that will be announced at the Data Palooza. Fire, of course, is a fast healthcare interoperable resources and is the new emerging standard for the secure interoperability of healthcare data. And there are other codeathons around using claims and electronic health record data to develop better solutions. In this case, the particular challenge is looking for solutions for better rheumatoid arthritis care, and the winners of that codeathon will also be announced at the Data Palooza. But the geek factor is high, and like you said, there will be a lot of open laptops and a lot of people showing the wonderful creations and ideas that they have.
Now, when it comes to data sources for this type of event or data sources for building healthcare applications, so much of the data you mentioned, electronic health records and clinical information, so much of it has a huge privacy component. How is it possible to use it for whatever purpose someone might want to try?
So I think there are a number of ways in which we've approached that. The first way in which we've approached it is CMS, for example, has released massive amounts of very securely patient privacy protected data because we take billions and billions of claims data from the healthcare system and we aggregate it at the provider level. So over the last few years, we've been able to release giant data sets of 10 million lines of data, 23 million lines of data, covering basically a million providers thereabouts, telling us more about their healthcare utilization patterns and their healthcare prescription drug patterns. There's a lot that you can learn from data that's released at a geographic level. And then, there are certainly tools that do rely on patient-level data, but any patient-level data analytics are always conducted under the within the very appropriate framework of HIPAA, and people take great care to protect patient privacy at all costs.
Now, these large data sets that you describe that are devoid of the personally identifiable information, are these made publicly available by CMS or HHS?
Yes, they are available at our website and at healthdata.gov. They've been a huge success. They've been downloaded hundreds of thousands of times. We started 3 or 4 years ago with actually a pretty small data set, a data set that listed the average charges for frequent discharges at inpatient hospitals. And it really took off in the media and I think and in public consciousness, and that was really the building block for many of our future releases. John Stewart called it a miracle of competence in government, which was good enough for me.
I guess that's kind of a backhanded compliment. We're speaking with Niall Brennan, chairman of the Health Data Palooza and chief data officer at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And who actually comes to a palooza? Is it, you said there's a high geek factor, but I imagine a lot of medical executives and people concerned with the cost of outcomes, the cost of healthcare, must also be hoping that great things will be cooked up.
Yes, absolutely. The, you know, the attendee, the type of attendee is really super, super strong. I mean, we've got a lot of C-suite level folks, a lot of data scientists, health policy subject matter experts, a lot of venture capitalists and private equity folks, because they're looking for, you know, the next, you know, great new company to invest in. And speaking of those companies, and I think I said earlier, there are a lot of health data entrepreneurs as well. But I think one thing that's also important, you know, people shouldn't feel intimidated. I've been to many, many conferences over the years, and I do think that this conference in particular, the people who attend this conference are incredibly willing to, you know, network and share and have a good time. Last but not least, one of the most important, or you know, the most important people in healthcare are the patients, and we have always taken great care at all of our Data Paloozas, and this year is no exception, to promote attendance by patients and patient advocates, and make sure that their views have been represented through the content and agenda development for the conference.
Now, people using these open data sources, such as provided by Health and Human Services and maybe some of the other healthcare providers, is the expectation that applications developed or code developed to use that data shall be open source?
You know, that's a really interesting question. To a certain extent, it is up to those developing the code. I certainly am a huge advocate of open source software and, you know, a generally transparent approach to things. But it would probably be naive of me to assume that every single company would want to, you know, make the keys to their business model widely available. Now, you know, when we talk about things like FHIR, again, Fast Healthcare Interoperable Resources, that is an open source standard. And so I think with many of these solutions and applications, there are elements that are open source and there are elements that are not. And, you know, some people have decided to adopt a freemium model, if you will, where certain functionality is free, and then folks might have to pay for more advanced functionality.
So pay now or your buffer will overflow. All right, and what about Veterans Affairs and some of the other allied health organizations within the federal government? Do they tend to talk to CMS at this kind of data level?
Yes, we definitely, both formally at the agency level, you know, we maintain very close contact with Veterans Affairs and the National Institutes of Health, FDA, et cetera, et cetera. They're also very well represented at the data palooza, and you know, one thing I haven't mentioned is we have a very exciting international track emerging this year that will bring perspectives from overseas health and data agencies. In particular, we have very high level folks coming from Canada, the United Kingdom, and Israel.
For people that might be listening and want to get into this whole business, do you have a presence on GitHub or some equivalent site so they can see what's available and maybe join in?
Well, gosh, you stumped me a little bit there. I'm not sure if we're on GitHub, but you can definitely find everything you wanted to know about the Data Palooza, but were afraid to ask, at www.healthdatapalooza.org.
Neil Brennan is chairman of the Health Data Palooza and chief data officer at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. You can share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.